Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Titans lose in Jacksonville to drop to 3-13 on the season. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend from News 2 and public enemy number one in Duval, Corey Curtis, to the program. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Do they have posters of me up down there?
Yeah, they do. There were dozens of people at that game yesterday, Corey, that were looking for a piece of you. Dozens.
Oh, wow. Dozens.
What a scene. Just beautiful stuff yesterday. So the Titans are now 3-13. The losing, not a new thing, but you did get swept by Mac Jones and the Jags this year, so That's tough to do. What'd you make of that one yesterday for the Titans?
Yeah, you know that's bad. That's bad. You know, it's just I thought. Look, I know that they wanted to control the ball. I know that that it was wet. I just thought in the first half, they weren't aggressive going down the field with the football at all. I mean, Calvin Ridley had one catch at halftime. I thought Ridley was going to have a big day yesterday. I thought they would really try to involve him and get him some yards and try to move the ball. And it just, no, no, it wasn't. You know, they have 19 points in two, in, you know, 120 minutes, 2 hours of football, 19 points against the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL. And that's just, that's tough. And, you know, Rudolph was okay yesterday. I guess to me, he looked like a backup quarterback yesterday. They've got to get more from that position next year from somebody, you know, because he's got two throws at the end of that game to tie it or have a chance to win that you got to make. You know, the ball to Okonkwo, you got to complete
that. He's wide open.
You got to complete that. And really the ball to Westbrook Akine at the end, you know, that needs to be complete too. He threw it a little behind him and a little late. If he arcs it a little bit more, leads him a little bit more, that's 6 points. And, you know, to say, well, that's close, blah, 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 blah. That's the position, and they need more from it. And that's not picking Rudolph. You know, that's from him, Levis, whoever. They need more from that position.
So I just want to point out, Corey is now talking about the possibility of Levis and Rudolph both quarterbacking this team next year. My goodness, Corey, what are you trying to do to the people?
I can't pick another quarterback until they have one, guys.
Well, no doubt. But we would all agree that they will, right? If one, if not two new names, right? I mean, like it seems to me, Corey, and I'm not saying it's inaccurate, but it seems to me that, you know, I read the NFL.com, Tom Pelissero, I think it was Pelissero, right?
Pelissero and Rappaport.
And yep. Rappaport report on the Titans, sort of, you know, getting everybody braced and ready for the, you know, the Titans not firing anybody. That quarterback is the quarterback failures are going to be scapegoated for this season. And again, I'm not saying that it's not a huge part of it. It's right up there among the biggest reasons, but when you read that, what did you think? And don't you think that also means that, you know, that quarterback is about to be seriously changed?
Well, I mean, they have to have a plan. That's for sure. And you know, look, there's a lot. I mean, special teams was awful at points this year. You give up 335 yards rushing to the Colts, you know, last week. But you can point to the quarterback position, you know, in round one against the Jaguars. You know, you've got a couple opportunities to score that you don't, that you absolutely, you know, you should have. You know, special teams and quarterback cost you the Bears game. You know, after a really good first half, you just gave it away. And we can go down the list of some other games where, you know, you're sitting here at 3-13 where, you know, you could easily be 6-10, whatever. You know, that's still not great, but it's not where you're at right now. And, you know, they just, like I said, they need more from that spot. And, you know, it's about time we heard something from somebody about what was going to happen next year, you know, because everybody's, you know, looking. And I just don't know how many good options that they have to find someone. You know, they're going to have a chance, it looks like, to draft somebody, you know, unless they luck up and beat Davis Mills next week somehow. But yeah, I mean, they just...
Oh, they're going to win.
You think so?
Rexro, it's very confident.
They, because they have such a great reward for losing. They're absolutely going to win this game. We okay. all need to acknowledge this.
Okay. I mean, look, they just lost to Mac Jones twice. And I know Stillman's got Mac Jones labeled as the next Sam Darnold.
I saw that. Really?
Oh, my gosh.
He wants Mac Jones to be the quarterback next year.
Yeah. Mac Jones.
He wants him to be the Titans quarterback?
That is correct.
I'm missing so much great stuff. Oh, my goodness.
He has two wins, both against the Titans, and that has him loving Mac Jones, which is fine. But, yeah, I mean, look, there's not a lot of great options out there. And I don't, you know, we talked about some of the ones that are there, like Jake Browning and Derek Carr. And, you know, do any of them move the needle a lot? You know, and if it's Sanders or Ward, you know, you're rolling the dice. You know, you don't know. And whoever it is, you know, everybody comes back next year. Their jobs are all on the line, dependent on the guy pulling the trigger at quarterback.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, all of them. I'll never forget, this is a long story. I'll make it shorter because I know I'm long-winded. When Mike Munchak was the head coach and they drafted Jake Locker, I was walking down the hall at St. Thomas Sports Park talking to Munch, and I said, hey, you like the kid? He's like, I love him. I said, you better, because your job is counting on him. And it didn't work out, and he didn't work out. You know, he ended up, you know, not being here. You know, they had bigger problems than that at the time. But it's just everybody's job is tied to that position largely. And, you know, it'll be on full display next year. Because if they don't get it right, the Ian Rappaport report at the end of the season will be different.
Well, and to that point, let's operate under the assumption that the coaching staff maybe save a change here or there with, you know, special teams, and we'll see what else they decide to do. But largely, the coaching staff is back and the front office is back in place. A lot of Titans fans aren't going to like that. What do you make? Mm-hmm. What do you make of that decision if that's the route the Titans go?
Well, first off, you can't make decisions based on what the fans think. All right, you just that's not how you do your job. You have to trust what your brain and your football people are telling you. And, you know, I always go back to the Lions. You know, it was not good under Dan Campbell the first bit, but they trusted it and they trusted what they were seeing. And, you know, if Amy and the other brass there trust what they're seeing and say, we need to get more the right players in here more than different coaches, then that's the way that they need to go. But if you think, hey, it's not working out, but we got to see if we can get this to work out. That's just hoping, and being cheap or whatever. But if you still think that these guys can do it, then you can stick with them. And there's X's and O's stuff that you can look at and say, oh, Brian Callahan's got a good play here. Brian Callahan's got a good play here. And, you know, Bill Callahan's made this guy better, and, you know, Darnell Wilson still has the number one pass defense in the league, and, you know, they've had all these injuries. You can find all the reasons. But then you could also point to two stats to say that this isn't a very well-coached football team. Number one in the league in penalties, number one in the league in turnovers. I mean, those aren't good stats. And like I said, I like Cali, and I want him to succeed, but those aren't good numbers. And those are the numbers that have really gotten this team beat all season long.
What's the most buns poverty franchise in the AFC South?
You know,
stumped him.
No, look. You know I'm going to say Jacksonville.
I knew you were.
I was giving you a chance to change,
keep that
man.
Title.
I was giving you a chance to change.
No, I mean, look, guys, they have 4 winning seasons in 20 years.
Right. 4. That's a pretty good stat. All right. But the Colts have 2 playoff appearances and 1 playoff win in the last 11 years, and the Jags have done better than that?
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time the Jags won a playoff game?
It was within that time. They had the Patriots beat.
Jags won a playoff game a couple years ago.
AFC title game.
Yeah, with the AFC title, because they beat Pittsburgh, inexplicably beat Pittsburgh, and then lost to the Patriots. But, like, other than that, like, 1 year, everything else is straight-up trash. I mean, trash. It's like the Cardinals going to the Super Bowl. I mean, outside of that, it's trash.
I just wanted you to say the Colts, because like I just think yesterday was.
Oh no, I love to rail on the Colts too.
Incredible,
because look, the Jaguars fan base is more mystifying with their view of their team than anyone in the world. That they always think that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender every year. You know, at least this year, most sane people didn't think the Titans were going to be great. They thought to be about 500 at best. But with the Colts, the NFL is more mystifying than anyone. The NFL props the Colts up like they're this contending franchise every year, and they have not been relevant in over a decade. I mean, it's just why did Anthony Richardson miss this game? Because he was sore?
No, I will say
– I threw 7 passes the week before. I had arm, got to ice it up.
I will say, given people were – cover the team, that he had pretty severe back spasms, but somebody put soreness out there, and that was BS. So that's what Stephen Holder reported.
So. Okay. Yeah, because that's a tough one for a guy who came out of who needed a timeout because he was tired.
No, there is that.
I mean,
you're talking yourself into the Colts.
Well, no, I mean, look.
The answer is the Titans, boys.
I can bang away. Well, the
they also have a claim.
Yes, that is the answer.
Yeah.
Current state of things, the Titans have a claim.
The Titans, you know, the last 3 years, you know, look, the Titans had, a 6-year run of winning football?
Yes.
Okay.
16
now, the 22. Last 3 years. And the thing about the last 3 years is they're not just losing, but the trajectory is down.
Right.
Now, next year, if the trajectory stays down, that's hard to do. You know, then you're looking at 1 or 2 wins. But, you know, it's possible. We saw Wisenhunt era go from, what, oh, did they go from 2 to 3? That's right. Malarkey pulled out 2 wins, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think so.
That's right.
Yeah, he beat the Saints and the Jags. Yeah.
So, big improvement.
Yeah. It's, you know, look, all 3 of them, I mean, well, gosh. You know, the Texans have had a good run, but the Texans started out horribly. And then before last year, you know, after the D-Hop horrific trade – and, you know, the Deshaun Watson, you know, masseuse scandal. I mean, that was a dumpster fire. I mean, that was a dumpster fire, and they were horrible. But I think they've got a more track record of winning some games lately.
Yep, no doubt about it. Corey, thank you for your time as always, my friend. Happy New Year to you, and we will talk to you soon.
You know how, like, they have relegation in soccer? And we always talk about if they have relegation in the NFL. What if they relegated just, like, a whole division? And, like you know, they move, like, the SEC, you know, move the SEC into the NFL, move the AFC South into college.
I'm here for it.
I like it. SEC isn't winning any bowl games, but I like it.
More entertaining football.
Yeah, by the way, let's go Notre Dame.
Hey, all righty. Thank you, Corey. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Here on the program. We'll react to what he had to say. Coming next, take more of your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Got some tickets to give away, a four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, January the 4th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a four-pack of tickets to see Monster Jam at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, January the 4th. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. I'm with the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. PK has weighed in on our poverty franchise discussion in the AFC South.
Yep.
He says proximity bias. Poverty franchise right now is the Titans. They've been swept by the Colts and the Jags.
That's right. Okay, so, well, that's PK with recency bias. So this is one of those things where you got to define the terms. If we're defining, again, I went back to 11 years, Colts, two playoff appearances, one playoff win, along with the late season chokes that they've now had. Yes, they needed help this year, but, like, you beat the Giants. I mean, of course you go beat the freaking Giants and Drew Lock. And so if we're taking any recent, like, you know, past seasons relatively recently into account, the Titans obviously have that six-year run that Corey mentioned. They have multiple playoff wins. They have multiple division titles. They have an AFC title run. If we're just talking right at this moment, then, yeah, the Titans have a great case. I mean, I guess really who has the worst situation right now and moving forward, then it's a different discussion. I was talking history with the Colts too. If it's who has the worst situation, start with ownership. Okay, let's see.
Well, this is quite the division for that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the ownership in this division, are we surprised at the lack of success in this division? You know, it kind of does go hand in hand, doesn't it?
I mean,
Khan, Adam Strunk, and Irsay are just absolutely just on a roll right now. And, you know, as you pointed out in the break, it's not like the McNairs are like setting the standard for professional sports ownership.
Yeah, it's really is. When you look at it, it's a heck of a division on the ownership front in terms of just, I mean, look, you've got, and it's different. Like Amy Adam Strunk, very likable person. Has done at times a good job here in terms of, you know, she's made some good hires and gotten out of the way, and they've had a run of success. He's also torpedoed.
That did happen in the past, yes. So if we're counting that,
she's also torpedoed some things as well. I mean, Jacksonville, as Corey has pointed out, has been a disaster for two decades. And then I don't even, like, who knows what Jim Irsay does. He's off in the bus somewhere with a Jimi Hendrix guitar doing God knows what. So, like, there's a –
strumming it, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting cats in this division.
So it's like owner, front office, coach, quarterback. You know, new coach coming into Jacksonville. All right, now very huge questions about the coach here. Huge questions to me about the coach in Indy. I still like the coach in Houston. Front office probably is bad here, as there's the track record's not good, and then quarterback is TBD. I still think Indy, though, if the quarterback is just like, they're tied to him next year.
I think.
And right now, that's not a comforting thought. Titans have freedom. Yay!
Back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
It's the Jags, dude. Like, 100% the Jags.
Oh, but they have a decent quarterback. They do have, like, a pretty good quarterback. Do we agree or no?
You and I have very different definitions of pretty good. They have a okay quarterback.
Yeah, he was a great national champion-level quarterback in college, man. I agree with you on that. So I don't think he deserved a second contract other than just being Trevor Lawrence, whatever. But they haven't. They've never moved past Brunell's team, man. They really didn't. Like, they're still struggling with that. If you call down there and talk to these radio stations and try to, like, poke at the fans a little bit, they're still super salty over that 99 team.
Have you done that?
I like to do that every once in a while. You can only call you guys so much, man. So I like to call them every once in a while.
Hell yes. Super, good for you.
Super salty. But look, man, at the same time, I've been ready to pull the plug on this season since before Thanksgiving. Like, it's been painful for Titans fans, so I can't really say much. But if you see the way the Jaguars reacted yesterday after winning that game, they think they won something with that. Like, they lost and don't even realize they lost. That's how bad they are. So, yeah, they're the worst. They're the worst franchise. I think behind Cleveland, they're the worst franchise in the NFL, like, historically.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it. Joe, when we come back.
It's kind of like how you want to do the.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
When we come back, a friend of the show is calling for Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker's job. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, a friend of the show, calling for the jobs of Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, Gentry Estes, with a scathing column at the Tennessean. Tennessean.com is where you can check this out. And this is not the first column that Gentry has wrote in the last few weeks. Being critical of the Tennessee Titans, he basically roasted Amy Adams Strunk, I don't know, three, 4 weeks ago at this point, about how basically the problems the organization are seeing right now stem from her and that there are an offshoot from her leadership within this organization. And we talked about a lot about that at the time. But an interesting piece that he's come out with today about the job now in front of the Titans and two members who should not be doing this job. I'll read a very quick little piece of this. It's time for meaningful change, and it should start by moving on from the tandem of general manager Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, the president of football operations. There's no sugarcoating this anymore. It's bad, really bad. Maybe the worst it's ever been for the Titans in Tennessee. This isn't a quick fix. It's going to take time to get back to respectability. And that's the best reason for Amy Adams Strunk to shake things up now. Should Carthon and Brinker be retained in their current roles, they'll be fighting for their jobs under so much pressure to win immediately in 2025 that they naturally make short-sighted moves based on self-preservation rather than pursuing the long-term reset this franchise needs. So, Gentry Estes calling for the firing of Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker. Your reaction to that?
It's a great column by Gentry, another great column. Let me just say on a personal note, you know, Gentry is stepping up, man. He's stepping up big time, and I'm proud of him. I mean, I think he's doing a great job. He's doing what a local sports columnist should do, and I don't disagree with anything he wrote in this column. I really don't. I mean, I think he lays out the bad nature of this situation for the Titans. It's just, I mean, again, like the question of, I guess the question is like, you know, if you were the owner, would you fire these guys, right? If you frame it that way, I will continue to say with absolutely no confidence whatsoever that I'd give them another year. Again, not saying I want them back. I think they're great. I think they've done some good things. I do think that the self-preservation element of this is a really interesting thing, and we've talked about that some. Like, you know, that's just something that, like, if you own the team, you like that, you can't let that happen, right?
I don't know how you thread that needle, though.
Yeah,
I don't know how you do that effectively.
You do that effectively because everybody talks and they're all getting along great, right? They all collaborate, right? Yeah. I mean, that is a thing, right? Is that a thing or is that not a thing? Right. No, I mean, you're right. It's a terrible situation. Again, I agree with everything Gentry wrote. It's a very well laid out argument for them to lose their jobs. If Amy Adams Strunk fires the front office, were to fire the front office, which the Titans are putting out serious indications that she won't.
Right.
But if she were to do that, it wouldn't be the outrage would be about another, just, oh, great. So now this owner is going to stumble and bumble and hire the next person who won't get it done and then fire them and hire, you know what I mean? Like, the outrage will be, so this owner has no clue. And again, I understand people have already been saying that, but it increases in volume if you do that. But as far as, like, these guys, they haven't proved much. The question is, to me, it's kind of like, how much of the pre-existing condition is to blame for this? I think some. And how much have they done to make it worse in 2 years? The record is what it is. It's 9-24? It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's how much has their job performance made things worse? And obviously, as Gentry wrote, look at all the money they spent. Look at the Snead thing. I think that's a huge one here. The Snead giving up a third. The sort of two different, you know, so you're rebuilding or you're spending all this money to win now. You checked every box. They checked every box interview.
In retrospect, it's just incredible.
Do you have that, by the way, Nick? since we're talking about all this stuff, I know that I'm just springing this on you out of nowhere. That would be worth it before the show ends. It really is like, dude, what are you
talking about? It's pretty incredible.
So, look, it's a totally fair thing, and if it were to happen, I don't think anybody's going to sit here and say, man, these guys were just about to, well, some might, but I don't think too many people are going to say, these guys were just about to
right
just
on the doorstep.
Set the world on fire. But again, the outrage is this owner seriously just completely incapable of interviewing people, evaluating people, anything? That's the outrage.
Well, that's the outrage, and she may be. It doesn't change the job these guys have done to me. Like, I have now fully shifted into clean house. That's where I'm at. They're not going to do it, so I don't know how much time I should waste talking about it. But, like, I would be totally fine if at the end of next week, at the beginning of next week, they came out and said that Brian Callahan and his coaching staff were fired and that the front office was fired and that they were completely starting over. Like, that's how bad it's been. It's been a combination of just total mismanagement from the front office part of this, which we've talked extensively about at this point. And the team has not gotten any better. Like, we joked earlier in the show about improvement. They've not improved at all. Like, you can make the argument they've gotten worse throughout the year. So I would be totally fine with moving on from everyone. I just know they're not going to do that next week.
But see, your point there, it's like Wes in Clarksville on the text line driven by WilsonHunter.com. And it's the, you know, Gentrioso wrote in there, by the way, you know, he wouldn't fire Callahan, but, you know, obviously it could be part of the situation. Wes in Clarksville says, but don't we technically have a better roster than last year? On paper, we've improved, but it's gotten drastically worse, which, again, you could say, actually, the problem this year is the coaching. It's not the GM. It's more the coaching.
Well, can you make the argument that they're a better roster on paper? Probably. I mean, the Jerry Sneed's a big part of this thing to me. Like, he's nowhere to be found. By the way, you gave up a third-round pick for that, which, as Austin Stanley from A to Z Sports pointed out, either late last night or early this morning, which I think is going to be the 66th overall pick right now for Kansas City. So good stuff there. And he's nowhere to be found on the field. Owuzie has barely been on the field this year. Like, there's a lot roster-wise that's going on here. And by the way, you hired this coaching staff, which is also on you if you're the front office. Like, that's part of this too.
And for sure.
Rand is the guy that said they got all their first choices at coach. He's the one who said that. So, like, it's just – there's no –
the public messaging is definitely it's a problem. We'll go with this.
I'm not going to sit here
and say – lack of it and bad –
there's no path out of this, because the path out of this is you find a quarterback this offseason. That's the path out of this. But as Gentry points out in the article here, and you can, again, check this out, really good piece by him at Tennessean.com, it just feels hopeless. Like, there's nothing really to point to with this team right now and say, yeah, we feel great about that moving forward. I mean, it's just – they're as down bad right now as they have ever been, and I include the Wiz and Hut years in that.
Lenny says, here's a question. If a new owner came in, do you think the new owner would keep anyone? It's a good question, but again, the difference there is this owner interviewed these people, went through all the things, and like so I would say the answer would probably be no, Lenny, right? Like, you're going to come in, you want your own people. But this owner – made all these huge moves, including stunning moves the last 2 years to get to this, and now.
So what's worse, like sticking with that another year and just like doubling down on how wrong you are, or going ahead and ripping the Band-Aid off now? I mean, it's bad both
ways.
Don't get me wrong.
The answer is yes, Robbie.
Yeah, like it's not good. It's not good. By the way, I think Nick has found the Carthon clip.
Okay, here we go.
Every box. This was from Rand Carthon in the preseason.
Preseason.
And I was looking at the sheet that the offensive staff had broke down in terms of our needs going into the offseason. And, you know, we could – I'll show you guys later. But we literally checked every single box.
Wow.
From what we felt like we needed in starters to the furthest backup. And we were able to hit every single one of those. So, and that's what we really set out to do. Really set out to – wasn't necessarily like, hey, we got to flip this roster. But it was like, let's fill these holes and these needs that we have.
There you go.
The wow. Did Charles Davis – holy crap.
Wow. Did you really?
Did Charles Davis pick the Titans to go 13-4 going the season after that interview? It sounds amazing.
Oh, man.
And that's the thing. It's like – and this is where it's also funny on our part. It's like we demand more – like Rand talking, but then it's like, well, if you're the Titans, like, maybe not as much. Can we not?
No, I want more. If you're going to do this, just double down on it. I want to hear it.
No, look, I have no – again, like some of the Titans out there, well, you want to bring them back. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to bring anyone back. I want to fire everyone and then I don't know. I'm just saying, if you pose it to me like you are the owner, I'm going to assume that like I have some knowledge of competence behind the scenes.
I mean, apparently they think they're improving behind the scenes, according to the NFL.com article, which is just stunning. Like, I don't know how you could possibly think that. Even if you're like, man, I'm out there watching practice every day, and you wouldn't believe the way these guys practice. Like, you wouldn't believe how good they are in practice. It's like, well, that's great, but it doesn't really mean anything if it doesn't show up on game day, does it?
Yeah, that one is. I mean, again, it's like a week after you had a FCS rushing defense against Alabama. 335
yards on the ground to Indianapolis. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Preds pick to click. Coming up next, be the first caller. 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal scorer for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that. Give our final thoughts on the Titans as well. Get to more of your thoughts as well on our text line. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. Puck drop at 6:30, pregame at 5:30 on 1025-1063, the game. Standings. Continuing to have some movement in the competition. Rex Road on the board again last time out, as was I, which brings the overall standings. Rex Road in first place, 8 correct answers. I'm in second with 5. The listeners in third with 4. Keezer in fourth with 3.
Yikes.
Competition heating up. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny. Kenny, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going with the hot hand, Jonathan Marceau.
Going with Marceau. Kenny, thanks for the call. 8-game point streak for Jonathan Marceau. I think he scored in 5 straight. So, good pick by Kenny there. I am up next. I will go, you know, he's due. He gets it tonight. Forsberg.
No, it's been forever. You did it.
It's been forever since he scored. I'll go Forsberg. Marceau, Forsberg off the board. Rex Road, your pick to click.
Oh, I'm not last this time. Oh, you guys keep trying. It's like the NFL draft, you know. The guy on top just keeps picking last usually, but I get next to last this time. Okay, it worked out for me. I'll keep going with Stamkos.
Stamkos, Marceau, Forsberg, Stamkos on the board. Nick Keezer, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
No, I am not going with Parson and Adam Vingan, who's in the back of my ear, who just got traded. Get out of here. He's been scratched 21 games. All right, I'm going to go with the captain, Roman Josi.
Job, Vingan.
You don't want to take Vinny Hinostroza?
No.
Okay, just checking. Josi, the selection. Marceau, Forsberg, Stamkos, Josi. The selections today in Preds Pick to Click. I will have your pregame show at 5:30 tonight here on 102.5 The Game, so make sure you're tuned in for that.
I'll be dialed in.
You better be.
A couple quick things on the text line. Brian Summers, good point by him on the Rand thing. He says, never picked him up before today, but he said during the whole thing about the quote, the list the offensive staff gave him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could listen to that thing, and we can go back to maybe we should blame the coaches more than the front office. I'm just saying.
That makes me even more convinced that they should clean house at the end of the year.
Here's Cam on the text line. Someone getting fired or selling the team, something needs to happen. I thought my job sucked until this season, and now I feel bad for everyone at 102.5 The Game because it's literally the same conversation over and over again. Preds or Titans, doesn't matter. Talking about next season since mid-November. Pray for the voices at 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Cam.
We're still
having fun, though.
Yeah, we're fine.
We're having fun. I mean, we have Kaharsky to make fun of. Come on. We're all right.
That is true.
God, it does kind of suck, though. You're right, Cam. It kind of sucks.
I mean, look, if you're right and what happens next weekend goes the way that you think it's going to go and the Titans beat the Texans to ruin getting the first or second overall pick, I mean, it's going to
demonstrating progress,
it's
by the way.
Be a freaking all-timer making of a show on Monday.
Making the owner happy, by the way.
If they go out there and they are able to somehow get past my guy, Davis Mills, and they win that game, it will be an all-timer.
I'm telling you, it's my lock right now. It's my lock right now. They're going to win. They're going to screw it up. And Amy's going to be happy. They're going to be wearing their Oilers uniforms. She's going to say, look, guys, see? There's progress. There's improvement. Let's go ahead. Roll it forward.
Look, I'm with you. Like, the guys on the team are never going to – they're never going to quit.
Oh, hell no.
They're not going to like, oh, good.
They
we
revel.
Get another draft.
They revel in the idea of screwing up the draft.
They do.
They love the idea.
So I fully understand that. If there was ever a game like in franchise history that they need to lose, like Sunday's near the top, just go ahead and round this thing off and get to 3-14 and take your shot.
Except we think that the front office is coming back, so maybe it's better for them to not let the front office screw up that pick. How about that? See?
Well,
how about that reverse psychology?
If you're tell them to trade out of it. Who cares? But my goodness, like I can't wait for them to win this game, our show next Monday. People are going to lose their minds.
Well, it'll like how it'll be like, you know, the show that comes to mind is the game after Malik Willis and the Packers came in here
yes.
and beat them. You know, except the anger after the win,
yes.
months later when we realize that they are complete buns.
Yeah, like it's got a chance to be an all-timer on Sunday. I mean, if they lose, it's like, okay, thank God this season's over. And then immediately you start to say
the offseason gets it's fun.
Yeah, it's like right there. Like sure. So you've got a lot of things to talk about. But if they win this game and end up picking fifth or sixth, whew, I mean you still got a chance to get a good player there, but my goodness.
Right, but it's like at that point you're talking about who are you talking about? Like, is there a tackle who is who you can talk yourself into at that spot? Or
Luther Burton's gonna look great.
Yeah, there you go. Luther Burton. Yeah, I like Luther Burton. Don't get me wrong. I like Luther Burton.
Is he playing today in the Music City Bowl?
I would guess not.
Probably not.
So, but if he does play half the game, apparently then he'll quit on his team if he doesn't play the other half.
Would that? So, are you now convinced that the Titans can't draft Cam Ward because he only played in the half the other day?
Exactly. He quit on his team. I mean, you know, it didn't matter. You know, Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, he's fine. He's good. Yeah. Like dozens and dozens of other guys who have not played at all. They didn't, you know, I don't know, man.
Shadur played.
Shadur did play.
Melrose playing.
Travis Hunter played.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter on that one little pass that he took, like, geez. Sometimes I want, like, maybe he is better as a receiver. I don't know. I think he's a corner, but
well,
that's
goodness. The thing. Like, let's say for the sake of this discussion that they love Travis Hunter. Where are you playing him? So you're gonna, because they definitely need a wide receiver way more than they need a cornerback right now. But a lot of people think he's going to be a better NFL corner.
I do. I tend to believe so. But listen,
you're the Titans. Are you promising that he can be the next Boo Carter and play both sides of the football? That's what we do here in the state of Tennessee. You just take your best defensive back and you play both sides of the ball.
That's right.
It's the future.
Or they get in the portal. I think Travis Hunter. The Titans may have some corners, although you know they never play. Travis Hunter. If you have him as a number one corner, that I think he can be in this league, I think you're pretty happy. And then you give him a little offense here and there, a little return game maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
See, that's the type of thing we can talk about if they lose, which they're not going to do. Lock it down right now. Guarantee. Titans going to win.
Texans playing the long game. They just come in here and lose twice to the Titans. It's like, hey, we'll just keep those guys down in the gutter.
And guess what? Now their owner is happy, and it's going to be status quo.
Yeah.
We win. Yay, yeah. Texans. No, I'm telling you, man. Davis Mills, it's setting up so beautiful.
I guess my parting message to Titans fans is, hey, it's almost over. You got one more week of this, but man, do they really need to lose on Sunday now? I mean, what a nice way to end the season that would be if they just screwed up having the number two overall pick.
And to follow up Cam's message, thank you for praying for us. We're also praying for you. Let's pray for each other.
Yes, let's do that. In the mighty words of Arden Key from last week. That does it for us today. DVD is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.